Well, good morning. Welcome to the Ag Market Network monthly cotton teleconference. It's our May 11th edition of this. We want to thank first our sponsor, Bayer Crop Science, for all that they do for us and have done for so many years to make this program possible. We want to thank, want to recognize our speakers. Our guest speaker today is Kip Butts. Our cotton panel that will be joining him, Dr. O.A. Cleveland, Dr. John Robinson, and Gerald Nieper. Kip is a senior cotton analyst and director of energy services with Informa Economics. Kip, thanks for leading us today and giving us your thoughts on the cotton market.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning, Pat. Good morning, everybody. As everyone knows, we received the WASDE report yesterday, got our first look at the 16-17 crop year, and just got a little review of what we can look at for the coming year. Let's quickly run through these numbers. There were a lot of them, so I'm going to kind of try to go through them quickly. The final production number at 12.89 for the U.S. is in line with expectations, and from that perspective is really in and of itself a non-event. However, in the 15-16 crop year, exports were lowered 500,000 bales to 9 million. I think folks were looking for that to go down a little bit, maybe not quite the half million. That's a little bit strong for a lot of folks, I think. Consequently, that went to the bottom line. Stocks increased to 4 million, and that's what really kind of got people's attention. The 16-17 numbers also provided no real surprise with the production number at 14.8. That's near the average guess. It was 14.6. Exports at 10.5 million were in line with expectations of 10.57. And stocks at 4.7 were a bit larger than the average guess, and that increase in ending stocks was rightfully viewed as bearish by the market. In the world numbers, beginning stocks increased 570,000 bales, and ending stocks increased 620,000. Global production fell about 250,000 to 99.55 from 99.8 in April. And mill use slipped 560,000 to 109.03. That was from 109.6 the month before. Pakistan and Turkey mill use increased a modest amount, and Vietnam saw a sharp decline of 400,000 bales. And world trade also fell in the report. Foreign stocks to use ratios, less China, increased to 48.7 compared with 47.2 the month before. The 16-17, the first look at that showed production up 4.8% to 104.4 million. Mill use was up 1.6 at 110.8. Ending stocks showed a 5.2% decline to 96.5 million. And that was no surprise. Folks were looking for that to go down a bit, so I don't think anyone was really shocked by those numbers. Stocks would represent about 87% of the expected 16-17 mill use compared with 94%. For the 15-16 report. The ratio of foreign stock less China was 47.6, a modest improvement from the May 15-16 of 48.7, and in line with the month before, which was 47.2. World cotton area slipped modestly to 30.7 from 30.9 in 2015-16. A few individual countries are important. We'll talk about China, India, and Pakistan. Area slipped 300,000 hectares to 3.1 million in China, and production fell 1.3 million to 22.5. However, they established a record high yield for China at 1580 kilograms per hectare, or 1409 pounds per acre. Excuse me. Mill use was increased 1 million to 33.5. Stock showed a 6.6 million bales declined to 56.7, representing 169% of the expected mill use. Though that sounds high, and it is, it's moving in the right direction. It's an improvement over the 195% in 15-16. India area showed a 100,000 hectare decline to 11.8 million and production at 28 million. And that's an increase from the weather-ravaged 15-16 crop of 23.8. There remains a bit of concern about the Indian yield this year in our minds, given the cotton seed situation for the 16-17 crop year. The production represents a 460 pound per acre compared with 437 the year before. Meal use was slated to be 24.5 million. That's unchanged from the current year. And stocks are expected to increase modestly. But exports declined to 3.8 million from 5.75. Pakistan area showed a 100,000 hectare decline as well to 2.7, but production was increased 2 million bales. Yields are expected to increase some 6%. Meal use showed about a 2.4% increase, and imports are expected to see a decline based on the better production. On balance, the report showed a start in the right direction, but stocks must decline more to establish a more healthy balance for the world cotton market. Price responded appropriately, I think, because the numbers are mostly in line with expectations. We really didn't get any surprises. Any of you fellas see anything in there that I haven't covered or want to cover something else in these numbers? On either the old or new crop numbers? Current or new crop, I should say.
Okay. I viewed it the same way you did, pretty much no real surprises.
You did misspeak, though, one time, and I can see why, because it's right below the number. You said 23.8 million for India. It was 26.8 for this
was
year's
it?
Production. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Thank you. There were a lot of numbers. I read the wrong line again. Thanks
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, China's right above it at 23.8.
Oh, great. Okay. You're right. Thanks. One other thing I wanted to talk to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kip. Sorry.
No, I was just going to change gears. If you had something else on the numbers, go ahead, please.
The I didn't. Go on.
Okay. In the cotton market today, there's a lot of discussion over the Chinese reserve stocks, and this is a terribly important part of the global markets today. Through the sixth day, they sold about 180,000 metric tons, or 827,000 bales, and most of that are the imported reserves. That's made about 72% of the total. And when the import cotton starts to give way as far as the percentage of the amount being sold, I think we can expect these sales to kind of drop off a bit. Maybe not dramatically so, depending on what the mills can utilize and how they can mix it. But looking ahead, a lot of this domestic inventory that I reviewed the other day, the micronair is not up to the specs that most of the mills like to see. And the staple length is quite a bit shorter than at least what's being offered as we speak. So, excuse me. The impact of the successful reserve will be to reduce the world trade by ensuring China uses more of their own reserve, make them less dependent on raw cotton imports. And the spinners are kind of in the catbird seat because if they can't use the reserve cotton, then they can still import cotton yarn. So the expectation is that with them using a bit more of their domestic cotton, they won't import as much raw cotton or cotton yarn, and that should, as what was reflected in the USDA's numbers, a reduction in the world trade. Vietnam and Bangladesh and Indonesia, their mill use won't fall out of bed, but it's certainly not going to, Vietnam's won't increase at the rate it has simply because China won't be there as a market. So I'm thinking that longer term, it's not going to be necessarily a crash and burn for the U.S. cotton and the world cotton market, but it's just not going to be a favorable environment for higher prices, particularly given the continued competition from particularly polyester. So I want to kind of open this up to discussion. A lot of people have a lot of opinions on this China reserve auction and the impact on the market. So sitting here with several smart guys who know a lot about cotton, do we have any thoughts or comments about the impact of the cotton reserve on the global market? Anybody have any insight other than what I just provided?
Well, the possibility that the reserves need to buy some imported cotton to continue to entice people to take off the old crop reserves, domestic reserves.
Well, Kim, excuse me, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, please.
Well, my view on that, and I fear that I'm speaking the obvious, and that's always dangerous, but I think they offered the imported cotton first because, A, they needed that cotton, or they needed quality to mix with what they have available on the market. And they wanted to attempt to get rid of everything they had or get out of grower hands and into the marketplace and into the mill all the remaining 15 crop that they could. And also the mills understand that with quality coming first, they can go ahead and buy this quality and inventory it and then use it as the domestic cotton becomes available. And I think it was Gerald that added, made the comment they'll continue to buy imported cotton. There's still some quota left. So consequently, by throwing this quality out there first and it being taken up just almost 100%, it just says that that goes to inventory to some degree, and then they continue to have it available as they spend the next 2 to 3 to 4 months to mix with the domestic poor quality that comes on board. That's just what I see in that.
Is this a new? I mean, in the past, we've heard talk about the reserve that it is low quality. Is this a change? Offering this higher quality cotton like this first, or has this been the case in the past?
No, I think it's a change. I think they basically were trying to tie themselves over until the new crop comes online, and the reserve is not going to buy anything but good quality cotton in the future, as opposed to just buying anything and everything. But that's my opinion. That's my understanding of it. Y'all tell me.
I agree. I think that's exactly right. I think and there has been a change. Last year, we all know that reserve auction turned out to be just an abysmal event. It was by design that they came out to do the imported cotton. One, I think, just to sort of get the momentum going and get the mills buying cotton, get excited about getting the reserves. Unquestionably, they needed that quality cotton. That's why they put it out there first. They're also going to, as Owe mentioned, they're going to buy up to 30% of what is sold selectively on the high grades to replenish this. I think just for that very reason that Owe is talking about, these mills need to get the higher quality cotton for mixing in whatever the new crop that comes on. And they're going to be more selective on their buying. And to Gerald's point, they've still got the import market to whatever degree the quotas are left and the WTO tariff amount. So there's still it's all about quality. And to the point that Pat was making, that I think that's correct. When I was looking through what I could find on the existing catalog that's to be offered at some point in this reserve, that was all kind of an undesirable mic. It's either too high or too low, and the staple length was a lot less than the mill's desire. So, I think as this thing goes on, the mills are finally going to be less interested in the reserve to try to get the quality cotton out of the crop as it comes off.
And then it'll matter a lot, not to say something even more obvious, but it'll matter a lot what kind of new crop production, we're talking about quality, that the domestic, the 16 crop that's growing, whether they have a good growing season and the things that contribute, some of it's variety choice, but a lot of it has to do with the season and the water availability and that sort of thing, determines the micronair outcome and the staple length outcome. So their demand for imports, quality imports, will be a function of what kind of a season, what kind of a growing season they have this year, as it always does. But
that's very true. But again, as Kip mentioned, their program does not call for buying more than 30% of the new crop, and they'll have that much quality anyway. Pretty much regardless I don't want to say regardless of weather, but that availability is going to be there since they they're no longer just going to buy lock, stock, and barrel as they have in the past. They're going to be highly selective in what they purchase. And I think that's the whole idea, is that they want to maintain enough of a high quality so that they can continue to move the low quality, the poor quality, is just because mills, you know, I got a real education. I thought I'd seen a lot of mill activity, but in Columbia the prior 2 weeks, I got a real education from mills and mixing high quality and low quality cotton, and what they could do if they had 1-inch cotton and one in a 32nd would have had high mic and everything, and they were working what I thought were miracles in moving the low quality cotton as long as they had the high quality to mix with.
Well, one question is, what does this mean for the market, for our farm listeners? Are we still in a trading range type market?
Well, I think so. I don't think, I mean, if we look at these supply-demand numbers, there's nothing out here to move the market one direction or the other. I think longer term, the impact of the reserve could be, as I said, the USDA numbers reflected a smaller world trade. The bias would be a range trading with a bias to slightly lower end of a range and perhaps even to break out of the current range a bit. However, anytime we're in a growing season, we're in a scenario now where India, with their cotton seed availability and depending on what kind of seeds are available and the quantities, their yields may not be nearly what we've seen in the last several years. My thought is a lot of the Indian yield increase has been based on the seed varieties that are available to them. With their little dust-up with Monsanto, or their big dust-up with Monsanto, I should say, the seeds available to them may not be as strong a yield. And if we see that, I think the market just could react, whether it turns out to be a supply problem or not of any magnitude, the market could react favorably to that. So I'm kind of expecting a range trading market, but for this time of the year, I mean, like I say, I expect a little volatility if we have any potential supply concerns.
And thinking domestically, the new crop WASD numbers to me, you know, is interpreted as bearish, but really what it suggested to me was it's an ending stocks outcome that's within 700,000 bales of the carry in. So we're still kind of treading water with ending stocks. We should be range bound because we're not really changing that much the ending stocks outcome. And I'll throw in, I think given the acreage and given the climate and weather forecasts we have with a fading El Nino and who knows if the La Nina's coming after it, there's a potentially a huge variability in just in that production number, that U.S. production number. So it could swing a lot tighter or it could swing heavier than what USDA is projecting right now. But what they're projecting right now is more of the same. More of the same. So, yes, range bound.
OA, are you of the opinion that we're going to remain that way, range bound?
Well, Pat, I am. I was going to ask the question. I think you had a great question there. What is the range?
That's the next question, OA.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy for me to say, yes, I'm of the opinion it's range bound. We've been range bound for, 18 months, 20 months.
October 14th.
USDA's, the last sentence of USDA's report, or near the last sentence, they indicated that the price range, they gave us a 20-cent range for the cash to farm of 47 cents to 67 cents. Well, that's a huge range, but empirically that would imply something like a low of maybe 52 cents in futures to a high of about 72 cents in futures. I just, you know, sticking some numbers in there to try to reflect that. And both of the, well, it's certainly the bottom number is well out of the range that we've been seeing. So is the low in our range going to move that much lower? That's a nickel to 8 cents lower then well, it's a good 9 to 10 cents lower than where we are now. But it's probably the right range was around 61 cents where we are today, was our bottom. And now these numbers USDA comes out implies a range that's the bottom has got to drop 9 cents. So what's the range? I'm going to let Gerald tell me that.
Gerald, you got what are your thoughts on what December cotton? Let's just put it this way: without weather as a consideration, and that eventually that will be. As things stand now, how low can we go, and how high can we go for December cotton?
Well, I think if we end up with something around a 15 million bale crop, probably 52 to 55 cents on the low end is doable. You know, if La Nina kicks in and some droughty weather hits and we end up with a 13 million bale crop again, then, you know, the upside is probably 65 to 67 cents. So 52 to 67, I've almost given up. It seems like thinking about this market because you know, if China decides to throw in the speculators and the speculators jump in there and they start driving this market either higher or lower, you know, this the influence of the Chinese market on our market can't be understated, and the speculative influences on our market can't be understated either. So it really makes defining a trading range with fundamentals much more difficult if you try to just define this thing with fundamentals. But I think I don't know that offtake was really increasing when we were when we had numbers starting with a five, and they certainly aren't increasing with numbers starting in the upper sixes right now. So, you know, it's a whole demand thing right now that's I think driving people kind of crazy.
John, what are your thoughts?
Not to be lazy or repetitive, but I can't improve on Gerald's forecast right there of 54 to 66 or 67. And I'd also echo what he just said about demand. You know, to me the demand outlook, the fundamentals we see right now are pretty weak. And so even if something happens and we have a supply shock and futures shoot up and, you know, there's speculative fuel underneath it, you know, we don't have sustainable prices above the mid-60s right now. So if we did, it would be brief because of this demand consideration.
All right, back to Owe and Kip. For the two of you, are y'all in agreement with kind of what Gerald has said and John on the range?
Well, I certainly am. I think OA sort of started this by giving us a wider range, and his range is really still valid that he brought up, 52 to possibly even 70 cents. All of this is based on to Gerald's point, the fundamentals would suggest price is probably towards the low end if we get the right, you know, a good crop. But a bigger deal, I think Gerald made an excellent point on trying to set up a fundamental price range when money flows have become such a huge part of this market. Where would prices have been yesterday had soybeans not rallied like they had? You know, I thought that the cotton futures market would probably work lower had soybeans not been out there and we had some kind of money flows actually impacting cotton. So I think as far as looking at the fundamental aspect of the cotton market, most analysts, I know I spend a lot more time looking at technicals now than I have the whole time of my career, simply because when these guys come in and the speculators want to move the market, they move it regardless of what the fundamentals are. So I think I would be, like Gerald mentioned, have a low-end scenario and a high-end scenario simply because you don't know. And in between, the specs can move us from the low to the high in a matter of days or weeks, which hadn't been the case several years ago.
Pat, I would say yes. I think we seem to be somewhat in agreement. I would throw out one word of caution. I think there is a very definite and very defined increase in demand relative to denim. We are importing more denim from China. It's beginning to replace the U.S.-made denim vis-a-vis through Mexico. It's taking the Mexican denim market, but we are seeing a percentage increase in denim used in the United States. That's the first bubble on the demand side I've seen in a good while. It's still very small, but at least it's out there.
Excuse me, I don't want to argue about the demand side. As part of that, though, I did not look at those numbers for the denim that's coming to the U.S. Is a lot of microfiber included in that? I read an article just the other day that we've seen an increase, but part of that is not as much 100% cotton as traditionally there's a lot of microfiber. Do you know that, or are you aware of that being a part of that?
Those were the trade numbers released by China that included 100% cotton, that were 100% cotton.
Oh, okay. Good deal. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
For ideas about, you know, what is a level, and I'm assuming it's in the mid-60s, but for those farmers out there that are considering when they might need to do some marketing or some hedging, is it the mid-60s? What exactly would it be for December cotton?
Pat, what's your question? The range or the low end?
No. For farmers wanting to possibly, that are listening, thinking, well, where is a level that I should consider doing some hedging as the market rallies? Where would that be? Would it be 64 to 65 in December, or what do you think on that?
If it got to 64 or 65, I wouldn't hold my breath. I mean, I wouldn't be waiting for higher. I'd be taking advantage of it because I imagine a whole lot of other people will be.
Well, we're trading right now at 60.85 in the December, and I guess a week ago we were trading at 62.60, and a week and a half ago we were trading at 63.69, and that was the highest we got in December. So is a thought if we can revisit those levels, farmers need to be really looking at it closely?
Yes, I think definitely anything of 62 cents and above, because we've had such tragedy, such misery every time we got above 63 or 63 and a half cents. Certainly as we would get closer and closer to 64, everything just became a total failure. That's a seemingly a rather low level to be hedging, 62, 63 cents, but it hadn't been that long ago we were talking about doing some pricing down around 59, 58 cents. So, you know, with the numbers that we saw yesterday, I think it does in fact tell us that this market just should be expected to be under a lot of pressure as we move down the road.
I would just add what we're
concerned about protecting then is simply if it got up to the mid 60s, it's that spread right there from 65 down to the upper 50s, and below that your downside protection is coming from the loan. So I'd have people considering, you know, just put spreads type of thing.
Right.
I just don't see us going back up to 65 cents. I hate to say that. I'd like to be terribly bullish, but I'm just very concerned that we get back to 65 cents again. Or let's just say 64 and a quarter, or something like that.
I would agree with that. I've talked to farmers about if we can get a rally up at those levels, just to hedge part of the crop and sell some calls against it, hoping that, you know, if we get to that level, then you get short at 65 or 66 cents, wherever the calls were sold, thinking you're going to be able to collect that premium as it goes back down. So, well, I think, at least from my mind, we're all saying a similar thing. We're not expecting really higher prices. But if you do get around this 64 cents, I think we've got a whole bunch of people in line to get some stuff done. So you can't be too hesitant when it gets there, if it does.
All right. Any other thoughts today? All right. Well, good meeting today. We want to thank everyone for joining us.
Pat, pardon me, if you will allow me. And
sure.
I waited too late to say this. I was hoping I'd get, or I would hear another comment. At least I am, if no one else is. I am really struggling now with the low in this market, and I know the guys voiced their ideas about that, but I'm much more concerned with seeing a 57-cent price now than I was prior to this report. And at the same time, I guess I was not terribly surprised by the report. But you can ask the question later, why am I struggling with 57-cent futures now? But I see a real probability that we slip back down to the 57, 58, maybe 56 cents. Is that, just to use the word instead of possibility, a rather high probability? Am I being too strong to think that prices are going to go back that low?
I think you'd find a lot of company with that OA.
Okay, thank you.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
Well, any other thoughts, John or Kip?
Well, I think pretty much beat it up right now. I think we're all sort of in agreement that it's going to be difficult for this market to go higher in the current environment. And given that the polyester prices are not really giving us much help, I kind of share always concern that we may see lower rather than higher. It's difficult to make a bullish case. So I think we've kind of all reasonably in agreement with that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up our meeting. We thank our listeners for being with us. Thanks to Bayer Crop Science for sponsoring us. Thank you for our speakers, for our cotton panel, Dr. O.A. Cleveland, Dr. John Robinson, and Gerald Nieper, and to our special guest speaker who is part of our panel, Kip Butts. Thanks to everyone, and join us next month. I think it will be June the 13th will be our day for our next teleconference, and we'll have this posted within an hour or two on our website for those people that would like to listen again. Thanks to everyone, and we'll see you later. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks.